Taylor Decker's on my all 22 fantasy team. Stop. They don't care.
So the strategic component to this game is through the roof.
Your predictions, right? Your forecasting in fantasy football into how good is this player?
This is going to, it's going to change the industry.
Yeah. I moved to the old town where it goes down. Look at me now. I wrote my goals down. I hold it down. Made myself proud. Say, look at me now.
And let's welcome in audio only listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the All 22 NFL podcast. But Ray and I just reviewed some film on the top cornerbacks that we think are in this draft. If you want to go to YouTube, check that out. But Ray, let's get into it now, right? I let you talk a lot, but I'm ready to freaking go, man. But let's start off with the obvious, which really is Travis Hunter, right? You were talking about Travis Hunter film. You broke it down. Again, 6'1", 185 pounds, 2 years at Colorado, one at Jackson State, 1,800 career defensive snaps, 900 receptions, 20 pass breakups. For me, the thing with Travis Hunter that stood out to me most is that the game is so easy for you when it's slowed down because you're just so much better of an athlete than everybody else, right? There are so many plays that you showed me just now, right, that he's able to do what he's doing because he's just at double speed, right? Like if you're watching us on YouTube in double speed, we're talking really quick. That's how Travis Hunter plays football, like normally. And it allows him to do things that most of the other guys aren't able to do. Also, like he's a receiver. He has the best defensive backhands I think I've watched, right? Like, and that's Diggs is really special in that regard. There's a couple guys in the NFL that have great hands at the cornerback position. None of them are Travis Hunter. None of them are that level of good. The play you showed in the back of the end zone where he's guarding one receiver and then breaks over to the other and almost intercepts the ball. Like no DBs right now in the NFL, no corners in the NFL right now will make that play besides Travis Hunter. And that's something that really separates him from me. If you want to talk about positives before I say the couple negative things, we can do that.
Yeah. So we'll see what the actual measurement is. I don't think he's under 6 foot by any stretch. Maybe he is 6 foot, not 6'1", maybe 6 foot 180. Who knows? He probably lost a lot of weight during the season playing both ways. So maybe he did start at 185 and ended at like 177. Who knows? That's actually not that much weight. I lost at like two practices. But in any event, he plays. I mean, the way he changes direction at cornerback, sometimes you have to compensate for something, right? If you're a small player, sometimes you have to spend a little more time at the top of a route or on the outside shoulder of a receiver because you don't have that body positioning, that strength to really kind of get into a wrestling match with a receiver, right? If you're a bigger corner, you might not have the fleetest of foot. Maybe you kind of cheat a little bit to your leverage to really protect that leverage if it's inside or outside. Travis Hunter doesn't have to cheat at all. In any facet of the game at all. He can line up and press. He can switch. He can change direction. He can bait. He's a baiter at the cornerback position. He can bait a quarterback into thinking there's a window and there's absolutely not, and he closes on it in a distance. So he really does check every single box, and that's why when you dive into this player, the only times you can really see him get beat is by a really big receiver where it's literally just a physics problem where he just can't get around the receiver to make a play on the ball because he can get to the spot, but maybe can't get around a receiver because of just, sheer frame. That's really the only time you'll see him get beat outside of his 115th snap against Stanford and Alec Iomaner getting beat downfield in 2023. That's literally it because he could do everything else.
One other positive that we both missed is his ability to hide his coverage, right? And again, it's because he can play twice as fast as everybody else that he can hide it twice as long as anybody else would. So there are times where he's pretending to be doing something else and will make a play on the ball that there's no reason for him to be making, right? And it's because of that ability to hide coverage. But I agree with you. I think the physical part of his game is a bit of a concern to me. I'm not afraid of putting him against any receiver in the NFL today. I don't care if it's AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, because there are going to be times where they're going to be able to outmuscle him and outplay him because of that size. But like, I'm okay giving up those one or two instances a game for the other amazing results that he's going to be able to play. And again, if he's only really playing cornerback, or at least primarily, I do agree. He's going to gain 5, 10, 15 pounds over the next 2 or 3 years. and he's going to be able to play a more rocked up style corner. And that's really what I would like to see for him. I do worry that the slim frame is going to create injury concerns if he doesn't get rocked up. Like, there was a play where he helps out on a tackle and it's kind of friendly fire where the safety or linebacker comes in and hits Hunter instead of the person they're trying to tackle, and he hits him in the chest and Hunter goes down. And there's a part of me that's like, in the NFL, when this happens to a guy that's built like this, it's going to be bad. Right. And like, I was, you know, we talked about the all 22 era and where we think we have this guy a little bit before. And while we were both saying there's a really good chance that this guy is number one, and I haven't really made my final decision yet, the difference between him and the other guys at the top of my list is 15 pounds or more of like muscle. And like, when you're talking about the elite of the elite, the guys that can really play cornerback at every aspect of the game, again, Sauce Gardner, Patrick Surtain, those are the other guys that I had at the top of my list. Those guys can do everything too, right? They might not have the ball skills that Hunter have, but they can do everything too. But they're a lot bigger. And I do worry that if Hunter doesn't gain weight, there's going to be times where he's missing 3 or 4 games a season just because he's going to get banged up at this size. You know, like, as much as the NFL is getting smaller, guys are getting smaller, it's starting to maybe switch back a little bit where the running game is more important again. Running backs are coming back. And you look at Tank Dell, right? Like, Tank Dell was unbelievable with what he could do. But there are going to be injuries when you're a smaller guy. It's just inevitable. So I do worry about that. And that's the only thing keeping me back from saying, this is my cornerback one of the all 22 era. This might be cornerback two for me. I don't know. I'm still not there yet, but I'll tell you soon.
If 15 pounds was all it took that I needed to make up the difference, I think I'd have been in the league. So maybe that's just me, but I'll say it. He's my cornerback one of the era. Better than Stingley, Surtain coming out. Prospect wise, to me, I think he's number one. I think he's phenomenal. But the concerns are valid. I mean, he had the you call it a cheap shot, but the I think it was a kidney injury that he had in 2023. He missed some time. So yes, the counterpoint to that would be, okay, he's kind of an Iron Man. He plays both ways, played a ton of snaps, but he did also miss some time as a result of some hits. So it's a valid concern, but certainly not one that makes you drop him on your draft board or anything like that. It's just, okay, all time, where do you slot him with that in mind? That's the conversation to have.
Yeah, and when we're that's great context. When we're talking about this draft class, this is easily my cornerback one. It's not close. And you're talking about him, again, like, cornerback is an up and down position that I don't necessarily want my team drafting super, super high when there's other elite prospects at other positions available. But this is maybe the exception, right? Because of what he can bring to the table at cornerback as maybe the number one cornerback of the era, or as a player that can play cornerback all game, but then also give you 2 or 3 series at wide receiver, right? In certain packages, that is special. There is something special to that. The second guy that I had of the guys we reviewed today is Trey Amos for me. Again, just really quick for the audio only people, 23 years old, 6'1", 190, played 3 years at Lafayette, 1 at Alabama, 1 at Ole Miss, almost 2,500 career snaps, 4 interceptions, 25 pass breakups. This is a guy that has, in my mind, maybe the most positional flexibility on the defensive side of the ball out of any prospect, any cornerback that we're talking about today, right? This is a guy that's got size to play outside. He can play press. He has the ability to play man, like in a true man coverage, maybe not the elite speed you want as a number one corner, but he does have the ability to do it. He has really good breaking skills coming downhill. He did that repeatedly really well. Speed isn't really a concern other than that, you know, again, when you're man-to-man with a really fast receiver, maybe it becomes a concern a little bit. But to me, most times, it's not a concern. I thought he had great form, great skill in his back pedal, kept square, and good ball skills. It's not Travis Hunter ball skills, but it's good ball skills. So I like all of the flexibility that he gives me, but I don't think he's as impactful as he can be in the run on film. I don't think that he has the big playability that you want. If you're saying, I'm drafting this guy to be my number one corner, I think you want more of that turnover, like, playability at that number one corner position. To me, this is more of like a, think about Greg Newsome and what he's been able to do as the number two for the Browns, but being like almost the most high-end number two corner that there is, or at least one of them. He's definitely not it's definitely not the best, but it's one of them, right? I think he offers that. And because of that, I do think that there is going to be a team that at the end of the first round or very early second round says, this is a guy that I'm going to feel really comfortable with throwing out in any situation and knowing that he's going to be able to compete. Is he going to be the best player on the field? No, but he's going to be able to compete in any situation. So for me, he's my cornerback two of the guys we talked about today.
Wow. I don't have him at cornerback two because of my concerns that I went through. I was definitely bad cop during the session. To me, he's a mid late second round type of player. He reminds me of Joey Porter Jr. with his build, right? I don't know if it's those half white long sleeves there that kind of always make the arms look a little bit longer than they actually are, but he looks really long and is physical and gets his hands on you and kind of controls the action that way, which I love. In a cylinder, he's phenomenal. If you're in a Tampa 2 or a cover 3 type, the old Legion of Boom defense, I think he's perfect for that. I worry about outside the cylinder. And I think when I compare him to a name like Porter Jr., when I look at the frame and profile of the player, well, this isn't Joey Porter's game per se. In college, he was able to carry some of those routes inside better than Amos was or is at this point of his career. And so for me, that separator, if you have Porter Jr. as a late first round type of player, he went 32nd overall. And I think the Dolphins forfeited their picks. So he was like first pick, second round. So in any event, late first, I think the lack of ability to consistently do that for me from someone like Amos, that's the difference between a high second rounder and perhaps more of a mid second round type of player. Because I do think in that LSU game, they started to figure out what works against him when it came to kind of carrying routes across the field, really making him run. Don't get into that phone booth with him. Don't fight in that cylinder. Move, almost like moving the pocket before a receiver, right? And with the motions that are involved where you can get guys space off of the line of scrimmage in the NFL, I think that's the thing where he can have some vulnerabilities. And again, that's not saying he's a bad player. I think he's a great player. He's probably a top 50 player in the class. A second round grade is very, very good. I'm just trying to drill the holes in his game to say, this is why he's not a first round type of player to me. And it's that right there. That's what separates him from someone like, you know, we talked about Travis Hunter and some of the other names here that we get into. So that's kind of where I land with Amos.
We're going to talk right now about Jahdi Barron, who is 23 on draft day, 5'11", 200 pounds, 5 years at Texas, 2,600 plus career snaps, 8 interceptions, 5 last year, 17 career pass breakups, 9 last year. Ray, so I watched two complete games of each of these guys plus a highlight tape. And Jahdi Barron, the reason I was not as high on him as you were is because I watched all of Ohio State. And I don't know if you did, but the Ohio State game gave me a lot of concern. One thing, I'll start with the things I like. I always do, right? And to your point, right? I don't want to crap on a guy who is going to be a phenomenal NFL player and has a lot of promise and is trying to make some money, right? But there's positional flexibility for him to be outside or in the slot. I do think his height, he might be a little shorter than 5'11", even though that's his listed size. So I'm a little worried about him on the outside versus some bigger guys. Great experience. We're talking about 5 years as a player at Texas with 2,600 plus career snaps. Great experience. And like we talked about when we were doing the film breakdown, this is a guy at corner that was calling out plays and calling things out for the defense as if he was a linebacker. That is special. That is next level intelligence that has value beyond just what he can do as the athlete. And you were completely right. This guy as an athlete is phenomenal. The way he's able to play off coverage, match routes, start and stop quicker than most of the guys we talked about, not named Travis Hunter, all amazing pluses and reasons why he will get drafted highly. The things that bothered me is I think when I watched the Ohio State game, there were times where he didn't even try in the run game, like where he just like was like, not for me, I'm out, like, no, thank you. There were plays where he ends early, right? We're like, kind of, we talked about that Amos play where the tight end, you know, makes like 3 cuts and, you know, he gets away from him, but he's still going after him. But there were plays with Barron where he gives up and he stopped, you know, running the route with the receiver. He just lets it go. And it bothered me. I'm like, it showed a little bit of a lack of intensity from him that I don't want to see, right? Like, I don't want to see that, especially against Ohio State, especially in, you know, like a championship level game where if you win it, you're going and playing for a chip. Like, I don't want to see that, right? And it just happened over and over and over again in the film where, again, just like plays where it's not over yet and he's walking on the field. So like, for me, when I see a guy that played for 5 years in college, he's 23 years old on draft day, I expect a little bit more poise, a little bit more of that commitment and just like drive and leadership, because I saw it so much on like before plays. I wanted to see it all the way to the end of the play, and it bothered me.
So I couldn't bear to watch. I'm not able to watch playoff games just quite yet, but I did also see Florida and I think it was Michigan for Barron, and particularly because I wanted to see, especially for Michigan, okay, how's he doing in the run game? And so I note those concerns. Maybe I had a lower expectation because he is probably 5'10", 180, to where I'm not digging him as much for that, because it's almost like it's baked into the stock price. And I think we showed the one play there against, I think that was the Georgia one. I wanted to keep it to Georgia there. It wasn't anything spectacular by the running back, and he still couldn't really square up and really make an impact in the run game. But in general, what I like about Barron is, and he's not a first round player for me. And to be fair, I probably only have like 15 first round grades in this class, based on what I've studied so far. But I think he can be very good in a certain role. And that role to me is really, really hard. Nickel gets tougher and tougher every year. And I think he does a great job at what those types of players are asked to do. And I think his style, especially when we're talking all 22, I think he's going to grade very well. I don't think he's going to be put into many instances where he has to be the force player in the run game. I think almost like a Jordan Lewis type of role, where he can match up in coverage against a running back if he's in a big nickel type of situation, or in the slot in kind of off coverage there, and really allow the defense to disguise what they're doing, because he can be deployed in so many different variations of coverage that he's going to be a big asset to a defense. So I don't think he's a number one type of corner. I don't think he has the physical frame and ability for that. And there is a liability in the run game. But when you have a chess piece like that, that can allow you to disguise what you're doing, because he can do so many different things from multiple spots in the defense and do them well, that to me is a huge asset. So that's why I have him in the second round, because he does so much. I don't think he's ever going to be elite. Like I think you have to go into someone like Jahdae Barron knowing what the ceiling is. You could love his style of play, but you have to go in understanding that his ceiling is less than even a Trey Amos, given the, you know, the size and physicality and frame that someone like Amos has. Barron doesn't have that type of ceiling, but boy, he could be a glue guy for a great defense and really just bring everything together and grade well because of it. And I think that's what you're looking for. So it's almost like a luxury pick, but not really, because it's an ever increasingly important role in the NFL.
So that's what I agree with you 100%. I think there's a fantastic role for this guy on any team in the NFL. But you can never, I don't think you can use him as a number one corner. You can't say, I'm drafting this guy to be my number one. And that's my concern, is spending a first round type pick on a guy like that. So I also had him maybe towards the second half of the second round, early third round latest kind of player, just because that's where I've seen, like, unless you're the Packers and you take Eric Stokes in the first round, like, drive me absolutely insane. Like, these kind of corners don't typically go that early, because guys, like, you really only take shots on first round picks at corner if they are guys that could potentially be first round guys or number one corner guys. Let's go to a guy I was kind of talking up earlier in Darian Porter from Iowa State. Again, 24 years old, 6'4", 200 pounds, only played 694 defensive snaps, converted from receiver, 3 career interceptions, 4 career pass breakups. I watched a couple games of this guy as well. And like I said, while we were reviewing the film, I think that there are a lot of things that he does not know how to do yet as a cornerback. And that is a lot of the form, technique, the intricacies in your backpedal and hip breaking and things like that, and the sinking that you want and matching routes perfectly. He's not there yet, right? He also might lack a little bit of the elite quickness and hip movement and feet and quick, you know, swift feet that you want as a number one corner. This guy's 6'4". It's kind of hard for him to be that kind of a player. But to me, this is a guy that in the late second round as well, you want to take a chance on, because he doesn't have the experience of playing, you know, a cornerback that long. And what you saw on film, what I showed you earlier, is a guy that's going to be able to figure it out and is just going to be that next level athlete for you, that I think if you give him a year or two, like, he could be a number one corner on a team. I think he has that in him. The ability is there. The only other thing I'll say about this guy is the comp, totally different position, but Jordan Morgan last year. Sorry about that. Jordan Morgan last year was a guy that I knew wasn't going to play tackle, right? Was probably going to be moved inside. And he ended up being a first round pick. And we didn't see that much of him this year. While, again, I'm grilling the Packers for this. Like, there were other guys I wish we took. 2-3 years from now, I think Jordan Morgan is going to be a phenomenal interior offensive lineman for us. And is going to pay dividends year after year in the future. That's kind of the similar thing I see here, where Darian Porter next year, we might not see a lot of, and it might not look great when we do see it, but years 2, 3, and 4, as he continues to build and learn the position and get comfortable, I think he could be phenomenal. And even, you know, I don't want to put this out there, but there is a chance that if he converted to safety, he might even be better. So that, those are my two cents on him. I'm curious what you have to say.
I don't know what to make of him. I don't know what to make of Darian Porter. Because how many 6'4 corners are there? Reek Woolen and crickets. Nashawn Wright was a phenomenal bust for the Cowboys. It was an idiotic pick when they had Melifonwu on the board, who went to Detroit. But in any event, there's not that many out there. And the fact that there aren't that many out there and there's not a lot of tape out there of Porter at corner gives me some pause to where, is this class deep enough at the position where I don't have to take that gamble on the unknown, because there are other bodies in that second, third round type of range that, okay, maybe they're not 6'4", and that if they hit, they have this super plus attribute that can make them a number one corner, but the range of outcomes is a little more certain, and I know I can work with that. That's what scares me. And then, of course, you get into the health, like someone like Siobhan Revelle, who's 6'3". So it's only 1 inch. What's the big deal? It's actually a pretty big deal. It makes a difference. Don't clip that. But it does. It matters. And so it's one of those where, do I have the stomach to take that risk if it doesn't work out? Because I see the path that you lay out there for someone like Porter to grow into the position based on what he's shown thus far and be a real asset for a defense. I could also see 2 years from now, it just kind of doesn't ever really come together. And then you try to move him to safety and it's another position. And then it's like, now he's already up for contract and he never has really found a home in the NFL. I see that too. And it's just a matter of risk preference to me, where I don't know if I want to put him in the third round or the second round. I take more gambles in the third. You notice some teams in particular take gambles in the second, but that's more of a philosophical thing than anything else. But to me, he's a third because of the uncertainty. Like, I wish I could have seen 2 years of this, and then I have two data points to say, okay, here's his progression from year one to year two, you know, from snaps 0 to 500 and then 500 to 900. Here's the difference. And now I say, okay, I know what I'm working with. I see the trajectory one way or the other. We don't have that. And if I have other corners on the board, I might be going that route, because again, there's more certainty there.
Those are all good points. And I actually wanted to get into Siobhan Revelle next. He's our last guy on anyway, so it worked out. But just again, overview, 23 years old on draft day, 6'3", 193 pounds, 3 years at East Carolina, 880 career snaps, 3 interceptions, 12 pass breakups. So my view of his film was different, because it looked like you showed a lot of 2023. So tell me about the injury, because honestly, I wasn't aware of it. So it might have very much impacted my breakdown on this guy. But what was there? What happened?
It's an ACL tear. And so it's just one of those that happened early on in 2024. So I don't think it jeopardizes his availability for the 2025 season, but he's likely not going to be able to work out. I would assume back for training camp, but that's right around the recovery timeline. So it's possible that for a rookie, he kind of has a slow ramp up in training camp, which is You don't really want that. You want your rookies to hit the ground running and really be able to get on the field for install and things of that nature. Might not have that if you're holding Ravel back to, you know, try and fully, you know, wait for that knee to fully recover, which never really happens until about a year and a half anyway, even with modern medicine and the technology and all these surgical techniques. So that's certainly a concern with him, is how exactly is that recovery going to go and how does that impede his progress? But unless the medicals come back at the combine showing it worse than it is, and, you know, cartilage damage or something, for example, I'm not sure it really has much of a long-term impact.
Gotcha. So, like, I love this guy's length. Absolutely love this guy's length. Reminded me a little bit of Benjamin Morrison that we watched last week. Very physical. Siobhan Ravel in the run game. Legit weapon in the run game. Did you watch the SMU film at all?
I did. I watched a lot of SMU film actually heading into the Christmas season for some reason. I'm sure you can't figure out why, but yeah, go ahead.
Did you watch how often they tried to attack him down the field for like 50-50 balls? Did you see them repeatedly target him?
Yeah, a lot of hubris.
And like the thing that concerned me is, like, at times he lost. Like, at times he, you know, again, if you're saying you're the number one cornerback on your team and you're a legit top of the NFL draft type prospect, you need to be kind of like where they're afraid of you. And they weren't afraid of him, and they continued to attack him, tried to go down the field. And I didn't think he had great ball skills. I didn't think he was the smoothest either. Like, the reason he played a lot of press coverage is because he doesn't look that smooth when he's in space or when he's going up for a ball or whatever. Like, it looks a little chunky. I think he really needs to work on that athleticism. He really needs to work on that, those ball skills. The press corner stuff, fantastic. I'd love to have that. But again, if you're telling me that this is a guy that's going to try to be a number one corner for a team, I need to see more. I need to see him be able to differentiate his game. And to me, that pushes him to that, again, that like later of the second round type of conversation. But that size is special, and who knows? Somebody might take him earlier.
Yeah, it's like I almost checked every box, and then the pedaling just kind of frustrated me a bit. It's like, I get it. There are other things, he's 6'3", but there are other things that he does that are tough for 6'3 players to do, and he does them well. And the transitioning from that pedal, it looks more technical than anything else, because normally you associate that with stiff players when it comes to like actually turning and running. And that's not him. He's not necessarily that stiff. He's just upright. And that threw me off. But because I saw him do things that, like in Amos, really couldn't when it came to just covering more of the field, that made me a fan. SMU has, they have a lot of money and they have a lot of hubris. So, and they have big receivers too. So I kind of get it, and respect to them for that, I guess. But I think when it comes to translating things to the NFL, I see a higher floor than some of the other big guys because of, assuming knee checks out, the athleticism that he displayed outside of that, to where at the very least he's a good number two for me. I can definitely see him. He's a starter for several years, health permitting. It's just a matter of, can he clean up some of the finer points in his game to be a true cornerback one in the league and a top option for a defense? Or is this just who he is? He's always going to have these blind spots in his game, and he can't really solve that. I don't know, but I'm a fan of his game, and he's a pretty tough kid too. I like how he sticks his nose in there. So that's another thing that coaches kind of fall in love with, that stuff. And you'll get more playing time and snaps on the field because of it. So I have him probably early second. He's not a first round grade, so I think he's early second, but in a class like this, he could go late first, health permitting, because there's probably not a lot of first round grades overall for the class.
Yeah, the health is going to be a big one there. There were two other guys I had in my list of top nine cornerback prospects, and that's Azarrie Thomas from Florida State.
Getting better at this.
Yeah, dude, I'm working on it. Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky. Both of them are 20 years old, so I was really surprised you didn't bring either of those up in the film review. But both guys I liked a lot for different reasons. Azarrie Thomas, great job playing, keeping these in front of him. Really nice length. He's 6'2", 198 pounds, so really good size. And again, he's super young, so I think he can really kind of like work on some things and get a lot better. I think there's a lot of potential there for him. He is definitely raw. You definitely see the raw things. He plays high. He plays a little heavy footed, gets handsy when there's separation. So certain things kind of like didn't look great, but Maxwell Harrison to me was really somebody to watch and somebody that I like, another guy that like, could he end up being a first round guy? I think there's the potential for that to happen depending on how many teams need first round picks, but this guy plays with intensity. He is fluid athlete, similar to your Texas boy, very fluid in the way he plays the position, not afraid to come up, make tackles, plays the ball really well, great breaking skills, good form, good squat, good technique. Only thing that I had against him is I don't know if he trusts himself enough. He gives a lot of cushion. Like usually he's playing like 10 yards deep at times. Sometimes he also he won't trust himself to play the sticks. Like if it's third and 10, this guy like might be dropping back like 12 yards and letting things happen in front of him that, you know, you should be more aggressive in those situations. So I didn't love that. But again, as a 20-year-old with that athleticism, something I really liked. I think he could end up being one of those guys that somebody takes a chance on in the first round, especially again, he's 6'1", almost 190 pounds. He is good CB1 size. He could end up being that at some point in his career at only 20 years old.
So I want to watch Hairston more. And that's why I didn't put him here. And not that I didn't put him on the list, but when it came to film to actually break down here, because I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure if I have him as a first or a second. He's a 1-2 for me right now. And I want to watch more. Whereas someone like Barron, I know what he is. And I wanted to fight you on him. So I figured we'll talk about him instead. But I still want to watch more of Harrison because there are things that make me go, oh, yeah, that's a first-round player. I love that. Then there's others where it's like, why does Kentucky seem to not really put more on this kid's shoulders? If you have a first-round talent, you want to put more on him and maybe roll coverage elsewhere and kind of take advantage of that. And it seemed like they weren't doing that. And that was frustrating to me because, A, you should want to do that to allow your best players to make more of an impact, but it also made him a bit harder to evaluate for me. And I just wanted to watch more, but there are things there that make me consider him for a first round grade, but I'm not quite there yet. So for me, I have Travis Hunter, I have Will Johnson, and then it's between Harrison and Revelle for like my cornerback three at this point. And I just want to watch more of Harrison before I make up my mind on that.
Okay. Yeah. That I was going to say, before we wrap up, let's give like a little taste of our final rankings. So it sounds like we both have Hunter at one. I think that's pretty obvious. And it sounds like we both have Will Johnson at two. And after going through this exercise, I think it's clear Will Johnson is the number two. And I also think in this class, there's a chance that he is top 10, top 15 pick. Almost a shoe in for top 15, as long as the injury stuff checks out. So we're on the same page there. Your number three, you said, between Harrison and Barron?
Revelle and Harrison.
Revelle and Harrison. So I actually had Benjamin Morrison as my number three, but that could be totally different if that hip doesn't check out. If that hip doesn't check out, I'm dropping him way down. But there was so much I liked about Morrison on film that if it does check out, again, a super young guy, this is a guy that like I do feel comfortable saying with a little tweaking, this could be a number one corner for me and like a legitimately good one. So I had him at three, and my range for him is like, I think he could be like a 20 to 25 pick guy. Like, I think that's a good range for him if the hip is okay. So we see that a little bit different. And then I had Trey Amos as my number four, the Ole Miss kid. Again, I think that there's just enough in his frame and what he's able to do that I felt the most comfortable with him. I think it's like maybe the ceiling isn't as high as some of the other guys, but the floor is much, much higher. The floor is much, much higher because I could play him in three different roles and know that he's going to be okay. And I had a lot of value in that. And I said, I think there's a team that could say this is a first round guy, but I have him as more of a second round guy. So we see that a little bit different. So tell me, you said Revelle and Barron as your three and four kind of guys. Who's next for you?
Morrison was my five because I baked in the hip a little bit because Even though I don't know what the injury is and the combine could say, oh, it's fine. Name a top corner that you know that has a hip injury in their history.
Yeah, I can't.
Not even from today. How about from 10 years ago? Any? I can't. And so that it's terrifying to me. But I'm not a doctor. So I go, I kind of like the player. So I'll put him at five in my top five, because people who know more than me when it comes to that stuff could tell me one way or the other about the hip. But anecdotally, I don't see that, right? So that's where I have him. So that's my top five right there with Morrison at the five, because if it all checks out, like I said, that's on the previous episode, that's my type of corner right there. 5'11 plus ish can just flip the hips and really mirror receivers and things of that nature. Now he has to get better tackling. Like I said, you can't draft him in the AFC North. You just can't with those running backs. That's a real concern for me, but what, 20 years old? That's exactly what I'm looking for. Long, but not stiff, can mirror, can turn, can run. He checks a lot of boxes, but the injury is concerning. And so it's kind of like an incomplete, but it's one of those things where even if in a few weeks, probably more like a month or so, if we start hearing positive things from the combine medicals and things of that nature, in the back of my head, I'm still going to say, okay, you say that, but I can't point to anybody else that has a hip injury in their history. And, oh yeah, look, that's a Pro Bowl level corner. That's a top 25 corner. I don't see that. I don't see that anywhere in the league. Maybe I'm missing it. Correct me in the comments, but that's my concern, is even if I get good news, I'm not sure I could fully trust it.
I completely agree. I kind of kept it out for now. We'll see how the draft season goes and see how that changes. But those are the guys that I have at the top four. I think Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky, I said, right, I could definitely see a team reaching on him and taking him in the first round because of what can be unlocked. I have him in the second round. He's my next guy at five. But I really think that everybody else, it's like mid to late second round. It's Darian Porter, it's Siobhan Revell Jr., Azaria Thomas, and Jody Barron. Those guys all in the same kind of conversation. I had it in that order. It's Porter, Revell, Thomas, Barron for me. So 6, 7, 8, and 9, Barron being last, unfortunately, just because, again, he's an older prospect, and I think there's limits to what you can do with him. But again, there might be a team at the end of the first round that goes, this kid is exactly what our team is missing, so I'm going to take this guy. And I wouldn't be surprised by that. And I also wouldn't be upset by it because the kid's super talented. I mean, you kind of made it seem like Porter was a little bit lower for you. He would probably be at the end of your list. Where did you have Azaria Thomas?
I had him, he was the last one, and I probably was influenced by the Senior Bowl a bit, because those concerns you mentioned, they stood out at the Senior Bowl, which is one-on-ones. It's like those combine drills where they're designed to make you look unathletic so we could see where your flaws are. One-on-one at the Senior Bowl, if you're kind of stiff, you're bigger than everybody else and they have all that space to work with, you're not going to look good, but you didn't look good. And that's a concern to me. He had all of the concerns that you would typically have for a bigger corner. And that worries me a bit. The age is helpful. I would like, honestly, I hate people who poo-poo the combine. Oh, it's worthless, but they're in tights. No, BS. You can learn a lot, okay? I literally learned about Abraham Lucas through the freaking combine, just watching him move. I want to see how he moves. And then I can kind of put that together with his profile, his age, and back to the tape. I think he's one of those names where, based on the combine, you're going to want to revisit his tape one way or the other, either to verify some good things you saw or to really make sure that those bad things you saw weren't as prevalent in the tape as they were in the combine. I think either way, he's someone I'm going to watch again. But right now I have him at the bottom of that list because the Senior Bowl kind of scared me.
That's very fair. All right, everybody, we got to run. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X at all22_PFF. Go sign up, all-22.com, or go to the App Store and download the app today. Give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast. Have a great rest of your day.